Bob, last week we talked about the anticipation of increased numbers of migrants arriving at the border. Tell us what you're seeing.
There was a report in the Washington Post Wednesday night that Mexico had decided to no longer accept expulsions of Central American families who had crossed the U.S. border. That was a rule that the U.S. had had in place since March because of the COVID pandemic. It's a little unclear what's actually taking place on the ground here in El Paso right now. Immigrant advocates say that Border Patrol is continuing expulsions here, but the New York Times is now reporting something similar to the Post. So it's very likely that in the coming days, we may see more and more families being released in El Paso. It's already happening in the Rio Grande Valley. And one of the concerns has been that as word gets back to Central America that the United States is letting families in, at least on a temporary basis, it could cause this the surge that we saw in 2018 and 2019 here in El Paso. And so the challenge this time, obviously, is we're in the midst of a pandemic. So a lot of the tools that the community used back in 2018 and 2019 to house and feed people aren't going to be available because of the health risks of the pandemic. So there's a real concern that we could see something of a magnified humanitarian crisis here in El Paso. It's worth noting that this humanitarian crisis has been playing out largely outside of media attention in Mexico for a couple of years now. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Biden administration responds, and then also interesting to see how nonprofits and local governments are going to respond to the issue in the El Paso and southern New Mexico area.
Redistricting has been a big topic of conversation in states as legislatures are meeting. We've been hearing a lot about Texas. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so, you know, we just went through the census, and I think most people know that every 10 years we redraw political district boundaries, congressional districts and legislative districts to account for population changes. But Texas may have something unusual this year. It looks like a group called Texans for Lawsuit Reform, along with some Republican lawmakers and other leaders, want to try to push through a redistricting of what are called intermediate appellate courts. These are the courts that hear both civil cases and criminal cases that people appeal because they don't like the verdict. And El Paso has what's called the 8th Court of Appeals, which also includes 17 other counties in West Texas. It's one of 14 intermediate appellate courts in Texas. The proposal seems to be to reduce that number down to 4 total intermediate appellate courts, which means El Paso would lose its local Court of Appeals, and there's some concerns that that may make it harder for El Pasoans to obtain justice because they might have to travel to a place like San Antonio or Amarillo for appeals court hearings. But the most interesting piece of this is that the move does seem largely designed to reverse a trend that we've been seeing in Texas with Democrats winning more and more of these intermediate appellate court judgeships. This appears to be a way for Republicans to shape these districts so that they can elect more of their own to these positions. So it's a version of legislative gerrymandering, according to the critics. And there are efficiency issues, which Texans for Lawsuit Reform rightfully point out. But I think the critics of this proposal would say there's other ways of addressing those efficiency issues without gerrymandering these judicial districts to unwind some advances Democrats have been making.
It's hard during a pandemic for everyone, and I can't imagine the added fears that would come along with being pregnant during the pandemic.
Yeah, so we have a really interesting article this week written by Alex Hinojosa, who's a community college professor here in El Paso and also a freelance writer. She's about to have her first child in March, and she's sort of been tracking some of the difficulties they've been having. And so when she goes to her prenatal appointment, she sits in a room all by herself. Her husband can't be with her. Her doctor can't be with her. Her doctor's just down the hall on camera. She can actually hear the doctor down the hall, but he can't be with her. And so just changes like that, not being able to have baby showers, and I think a lot of the uncertainty health-wise of having a child during a pandemic, including whether you get the vaccine or not. So Alex does a really nice job of addressing these issues in her piece, both from her own personal experience and then talking with some physicians about the issues that they're seeing right now.
All right, these pieces and more at ElPasoMatters.org. Thank you for the update, Bob.
Thanks for having me.